Hello and welcome to the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast with Joe Sylvia, brought to you by the global law firm of Duane Morris. I'm your host, Joe Sylvia. I'm a former Federal Reserve lawyer who represents banks, fintechs, and other clients on M&A, payments, and regulatory matters at Duane Morris. I'm also a core member of our banking, fintech, and digital assets and blockchain practices. The goal of the Duane Morris Money and Banking Law Podcast is to inform and educate our clients and friends on both the fundamental concepts and structure of the banking ecosystem, as well as critical developments in the law and regulation of money and banking. On this episode, we're talking about a few of the most significant changes in bank regulation in 2025. We want to talk and focus today on a few of the regulatory changes that we've seen since second Trump administration took office in 2025. We'll touch on regulatory and policy changes related to cryptocurrency, digital assets, bank innovation, bank M&A, and some more related issues with respect to examination, enforcement, and regulation in the consumer finance space. First and foremost, we've got to discuss the significant focus and amount of policy and regulatory action we've seen with respect to crypto and digital assets. It's clear that the president wants the U.S. to be the quote-unquote crypto capital of the world. But it's also clear that in implementing a policy focus on expanding access and use of certain cryptocurrencies and digital assets, the administration is heavily supportive of integrating the digital assets, the digital asset ecosystem, the cryptocurrencies generally, payment cryptocurrencies like stablecoins and such into the traditional banking structure and banking ecosystem in the United States. Now, we already talked about updates to kind of crypto policy in light of the Genius Act and focus on stablecoins in our first episode. So here, I just want to touch briefly on some of what we've seen from the banking agencies in this space. More specifically, I want to touch very briefly on what we've seen from the OCC over the last few years in the form of interpretive letters. In the previous administration, the OCC issued interpretive letters 1170, 1172, 1174, and 1179. Each of these interpretive letters addressed different subsegments within the cryptocurrency ecosystem. For example, interpretive letter 1170 addressed the ability and authority for a national bank to provide certain cryptocurrency custody services for its customers. OCC interpretive letter number 1172 was an OCC chief counsel's interpretation on the authority for national banks and federal savings associations to hold stablecoin reserves, the funding or the money that supports the stablecoin. OCC interpretive letter 1174, again, an OCC chief counsel's interpretation, this time focused on the authority of national banks and federal savings associations to use independent node verification networks and stablecoins for payment activities. Finally, OCC interpretive letter number 1179, chief counsel's interpretation, this one clarifies the authority of a bank, a national bank, to engage in certain cryptocurrency activities, and then secondly, the authority of the OCC to charter a national trust bank. In addition to these interpretive letters, in 2021, we saw a joint statement on crypto asset policy sprint initiatives and next steps. The goal was to provide greater clarity, quote unquote, on whether certain activities related to crypto assets conducted by banking organizations were legally permissible. So in this publication from the agencies, we saw crypto asset safekeeping, custody services, facilitating payments and purchases and of crypto assets, loans that are collateralized by crypto assets like Bitcoin and other crypto assets, issuance and distribution of stable coins, and then some additional activities involving actually holding crypto assets on a bank's balance sheet. Since President Trump retook office, the second administration has been on a crypto sprint to try and make sure that the U.S. is the crypto capital of the world, and they're trying to do it in a number of ways. He's issued executive orders. He's appointed and nominated individuals to lead banking agencies, the SEC, potentially the CFTC, and others, with a focus on encouraging additional activity with respect to the crypto asset market and digital assets more broadly. One of the kind of culminating features of this approach that we saw just recently with respect to the expanded crypto policy and a more flexible, I guess, approach to cryptocurrency payments and the banking system was a White House release that's titled Strengthening American Leadership in Digital Financial Technology. In this paper, the White House outlines a number of areas where the U.S. should be leading in financial technology. The paper discusses and outlines the digital asset ecosystem, market structure, the banking ecosystem and digital assets, stablecoins, payments, taxation. And it also has a discussion about what is really understood to be one of the highest risks associated with cryptocurrencies, and that's the risk of money laundering and how we counter the risk of illicit finance in the cryptocurrency space. So suffice to say, there's a lot more work to be done in the area, and we expect a number of more policy updates, white papers, and the like from the administration, from the banking and the financial markets industry going forward, and from those regulators as well. Given the fact that we're in the early years of the second Trump administration, I would also expect some focus to develop on expanding opportunities for investments in and access to the broader digital asset ecosystem. But perhaps that's a focus for another episode, as this area is continuing to evolve day to day. A second critical area that we've seen some significant change to recently has come within the federal banking agencies with respect to fintech innovation, novel activities beyond just the cryptocurrencies and digital assets focus. Anyone in the practice will know that's familiar with banking and fintechs, there's a lot of discussion and background with respect to banks and fintech partnerships, engaging in a number of different products, services, and activities together, and other kinds of innovative and novel activities. So the focus in this area, it shouldn't be surprising, but it's especially the case now that we've seen, for example, the Federal Reserve just recently issued a withdrawal of its previous supervisory program that was going to be focused only on novel activities. So it was called the Novel Activity Supervision Program. It was released in August of 2023 and covered activities related to crypto assets, distributed ledger technology, complex fintech and bank partnerships, and also traditional products and services that are provided to crypto or fintech companies. The goal of the supervision program was, as it was outlined, was to foster the benefits of financial innovation while recognizing and appropriately addressing risks to ensure the safety and soundness of the banking system with a risk-focused supervision and as a complement to the existing supervisory processes at the Federal Reserve. However, Federal Reserve recently announced that it will sunset this novel activities supervision program. And so what does that mean? Well, in terms from the Federal Reserve, it means that they'll simply return to monitoring and examining their banks and their banks, specifically novel activities, through the normal supervisory process. They indicated that since they had started their program in August of 2023 to supervise and review certain crypto and fintech activities, they've since strengthened the understanding of those activities, the related risks, and the bank risk management practices. So they're simply integrating that knowledge into this existing supervisory program. There's no need for a separate program now. We're putting it into the existing supervisory program. This does seem like an encouraging bit of news, especially for the banks that were focused on potentially additional challenges of having another separate supervision program that was focused on these novel activities with crypto and fintech partners, as opposed to having it built within the existing supervisory program. Another critical development we've seen since the second Trump administration took office is an increased flexibility or an apparent flexibility with respect to bank mergers and acquisitions, especially with respect to competition issues and monopoly issues. In the bank merger and acquisition space, we've seen at least one approval come through with respect to a large transaction that had a number of potentially complicated factors associated with it. And we do expect more large bank transactions in the future. We've seen a few announcements come out. We've seen more at the regional and community bank level. But with the additional, what I'll call flexibility with respect to the regulatory approach to reviewing M&A transactions, we do expect this area to pick up a little bit, even despite higher interest rates and economic uncertainty. We do expect some additional activity in this area going forward, especially in this year and into 2026, for a number of reasons, not the least of which is this increased flexibility. We've had speeches from folks at the banking agencies, the federal banking agencies, that have indicated that they are looking to looking forward to accepting applications for M&A and hoping to alleviate some of the concerns over the timelines, some of which have been particularly extensive for approving those mergers and or acquisition transactions. Now, it's at the federal level. So we'll see how that works out at the state level for state chartered banking institutions that will have to go through the regulatory approval process at the state level. But generally, we believe going forward, there's what's perceived as a more favorable environment for bank mergers and acquisitions, especially, I think, in the regional and community bank system. The final critical development that I want to mention today relates to consumer finance regulation. And it's the CFPB, as we all know, right? The CFPB under the second administration has been quiet and, in fact, has very few remaining employees. But while the CFPB may be ignored for the time being, what can't be ignored is that we're seeing a pickup in activity at the state level, especially with respect to state AGs and state consumer watchdogs, right? There's an increased activity level with respect to consumer finance regulatory enforcement issues. State agencies have been increasing their activity since the CFPB has taken a backseat. We expect the activity to continue at the state level in the near term because at the end of the day, while the CFPB may be quiet, state and federal consumer finance laws have not been thrown out and still exist and can still be enforced against banks and other financial institutions. So we really do expect the state level activity to be particularly robust with respect to enforcement related to things like fair lending and anti-discrimination statutes, privacy of consumer financial information and other privacy statutes, especially at the state level, and data security of financial institutions. Those are just a few of the areas that we're seeing some pickup in state level activity in the enforcement space, but do expect more. So yet another development to be aware of and to consider in strategic planning at your bank or other financial institution. I know it was a brief episode today and we kind of covered off on a few different issues pretty quickly, but I really appreciate you guys listening in. Again, please subscribe, give us a like, provide some comments. That's all I've got for today. If you have any questions from any of our episodes, please reach out to me as always. Joe Silvia, JSILVIA at DwayneMorris.com, or reach out to your favorite Dwayne Morris lawyer. Stay tuned for new episodes coming soon. We've got much more coming your way, so please stay tuned. Look forward to hearing from you, and thanks for joining. Have a great day.